Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, and you are here for the honor, my honor and privilege to have a half an hour of your life and time. Wow, how special is that? And I thank you. So your coming here makes me smile, gives me a reason to keep breathing, keep on giving out of the heart that God has given me. The No BS Bishop, Alive to Love. This mission of mine isn't to some foreign land. It's not to some other country somewhere far away. It's for everyone under the sound of my voice, and especially right here in the U.S. of A. I believe that my mission field in this stage of my life is to be the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. Lesser values than love easily devolve into BS. As in, bait and switch. And it could be worse things, but the biggest problem I see we have is that we think it's important for us to fix, manage, and control people. It's important for us to recruit, enlist, and convert. And the truth is, no, to all of the above. We're here to love and to not BS people, trying to manipulate, manage them towards some end of our own making. So thank you for being here. I count it as a great privilege and honor. Been here for a little over 4 years, and I'm going to continue on unpacking the virtue, the beauty, the significance, the height, the depth, the width of love to climb that mountain, to run this marathon, and to see to it that this pilgrimage of love is managed well. We do a few things here as a matter of routine, not in a routine manner, but as a manner of a routine depth to keep me on track, keep my spiritual vehicle between the white lines on the highway, and to help us all stay in some stable spot. And one of the things we do, and it's something I wrote about 10 years ago or so as a New Year's resolution, well, now it's a creed that I call Love's Creed. Imagine that. Real deep thinking, right? So, with Love's Creed, it's something I read here every time we gather. I invite you to share it with me, to say it out loud like you would any creed or liturgy in a church. But first, let me read it for you in total. Then we'll go back, and I'll ask you to repeat after me, Love's Creed. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. There you have it. If you'd like a copy of that, you can email me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's all lowercase. Randy Dean Ministries is all one word, @gmail. I'd be happy to send you a copy of this free of charge. I'm not enlisting, I'm not recruiting, and I'm not going to put you on some fundraising list, unless, of course, you just want to help me out so that I can continue to do this. Because while this is being offered free, it isn't cheap for my time and energy, so any support you can throw our way was always appreciated. But no matter what, this is yours for the asking. So now, let me read it to you in short bursts, like a vow at a wedding altar, and then I'll ask you to repeat it after me. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Well, there you have it. And if you want that copy, let me know. Email me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. We'll get a copy to you. Well, today I've got a topic on my mind that's very near and dear to me, and it's very important. I live this as much as I live anything in this world in life, and that is I am a codependent. Now, I don't mean just in the casual form of having bad habits that I have to be aware of. No, no, no. I'm in a recovery from codependency. I don't mean that in the sense that somehow I think that, oh, I can just do this by myself. I mean, I need the support of friends. I need a mentor in my life, and I have them. I need a sponsor in my life, and I have one. Somebody I can call and say, I'm screwed up. I'm messed up. I need help. I'm in a codependent spiral. I believe codependency is just as deadly and just as addictive as any drug, as any bottle of booze. And the reason I know that is because I've lived it. I'm 71 years old, and in all of my adult life, I recognized I've had a sickness rampaging around in me due to the fact I grew up in a home that was riddled with my older brother, who was 6 years older than me, was battling with the disease of addiction and drugs. And his life was a continual challenge with the beast, with the monster of addiction. As a result of that, my mother, father, and myself were all impacted by his disease. Just as anybody in a home, let's imagine I grew up in a home that my older brother, my older sister, or my younger sibling was in continual battle with paralysis, or perhaps an ongoing raging of cancer through from their head to their toes, and for some reason, for years, their life was a battle to live in against the monster of cancer. The monster of addiction is the same problem. And if you're a caretaker, a family member, a mother, father, sibling, you're impacted just as surely as the person who's fighting for their life. And so with that, we haven't always given people the acknowledgement that their battle against the disease of addiction, that if they're not addicted themselves, their life and codependency is the disease they have to face, get help for, talk to people, stay in front of somebody, be vulnerable, admit that you're wrapped up in somebody else's life to the point that you don't have your own life. And so I recognize, because of growing up in a home where the battle for life was against addiction, that I know my life will always be in some form in need of recovery, so that I'm holding on to, now here's the drum roll, here we go, love is the answer. During the COVID quarantine lockdown, I was saying right here, I said, listen, love is the vaccine. Before we had a shot to give people a vaccination, I continually said, listen, whatever COVID-19 is, love is the vaccine. I still believe that. I believe love is the vaccine against all disease. Love for life, love for others, love for yourself. And in the battle that I walk with in my life as a codependent, I know love is my vaccination. Love is how the medicine that I need to live by, or codependency, will swallow me whole, spit me out at my own feet, and leave me for dead. That monster of codependency, the monster of dependency, doesn't care about you. It doesn't care whether you live or die. It's a disease that will absolutely just encroach on every piece of quality in our lives. So today I'm here to talk to you about codependency. Love isn't codependency. Codependency isn't love. We need to manage that in our own life and recognize that when I'm driven to fix, manage or control, that isn't love. That's codependency. When I'm driven by recruit, enlist, convert, nope, that isn't love. Now, let me walk through those in a minute, and I'll tell you, I hope you know, I'm going to tell you what love is, but codependency is about fixing other people, staying on a trajectory that I got to fix them, I got to change them, I got to make them right. That isn't love. That's not living your life. Your best life is not to fix others, but to manage an internal review and an inventory of your own soul, your thinking, your inner world, to stay as healthy as you possibly can. Fix, manage, and control? No, that isn't love. But here's the other side of that. Recruit, enlist, convert. Listen, if it wasn't for recruiting, enlisting, and converting, there's a whole lot of church folks that wouldn't have any spirituality whatsoever. But I'm here to tell you that's not spirituality. That's codependency. Codependency is seeking to recruit people. We got to get people in our church. I remember, I'm an old guy. I remember when we used to have Pack-a-Pew Sunday. Pack-a-Pew Sunday is when we'd get as many people in the doors as we could. We'd pack those pews and we'd sit cheek to cheek, and I mean that on the north and south cheeks in our life. We'd pack a pew and call it spirituality. My version of that now is that's just raging codependency. To recruit people into our building, to recruit people into our way of thinking. That's not love. That's codependency. Enlist, that's, you know, to recruit or enlist. Well, you know, if I've been a part of a few business ventures where enlisting was the big challenge. Talk to your friends, talk to your neighbors, get them to sign up. You'll get people under you. Oh, that's kind of creepy feeling right under itself, but you get people under you. They'll pay you they'll pay you a penny on a dollar for everything they buy through you or whatever. I mean, if you get 10 people under you, you'll have a fortune. And then they get 10 people under them. Listen, folks, I don't know what the business is you may be thinking about, but I've been a part of one or two in my life where I recognize enlisting people to make money, that isn't love. And I don't care how good your product is. Maybe it's the best product since peanut butter or sliced bread, and I love both of those things. But that isn't love. That's codependency. Businesses that rely on enlistment, that say, you know, you got to go door to door. You got to go get on the phone and call everybody. You got to try to roll people into your influence. The best people to do that kind of work are codependent folks. They'll be, and I know that because I'm a codependent. I can smell it a mile away. And that enlisting mindset will drive you to live a life that isn't your life, but to live other people's lives and to use them for your own benefit. Now, here's the third part. I gave you fix, manage, and control. Nope, that's not love. That's codependency. Then the next three words are recruit, enlist, convert. Convert. Oh, boy. Take a deep breath, folks. I'm coming at you. Pull your toes in because I'm probably going to step on a few toes here. But it is not the job of faith folks anywhere. I don't care if it's Judeo faith. I don't care if it's Christian faith. I don't care if it's Islamic faith. I don't care if it's Buddhist faith. I don't care what the faith is. It is not love to convert people toward our way of thinking. You know, Jesus said to the Pharisees who were the professional Judeo faith folk of his day. He said, you will cross land and sea to convert one sinner. And he said, and you make them twofold the child of hell that you are. Ouch. Yeah. Talk. Jesus didn't just step on toes. He stepped on their heads. He stepped on their hands. He stepped on their whole body when he said that. Conversion was the whole mindset, a conversion drive, a conversion to turn people to our way of thinking. Buckle up, buttercup. That isn't love. That is not love. That's codependency. Now, codependency is simply defined in one way that I heard from a dear friend of mine who's a lifelong member of Al-Anon. Al-Anon is the chapter of AA, if you will, that gives the spouses, the families, the siblings of people who have been in a relationship, a strong relationship with others that are battling the disease of addiction. Al-Anon is there to give support for those like me who've had to watch out for their mindset, their mental health with codependency. Anyway, this good friend of mine who's a lifelong Al-Anon member says this. She says, you know you're codependent when if you're about to die, somebody else's life flashes before your eyes. Which is to say, your own life doesn't flash before your eyes. Your own desires or happinesses or sadnesses, they don't come before your eyes. No, the life of somebody else flashes before you. And you wonder, how will they live without me? Oh my gosh, how will they ever be able to pay their bills? How will they ever get along? They're going to die if I die. I've got to live because they can't live without me. Oh, what an exhausting life. And really, it's a life lived in a disease. It's a life that surrenders to a disease without any medication, without any therapy, without any support from people who could get you out of that life. It is codependency in its worst form. Now, let me tell you a few personal stories about myself, and let's get to love, right? We'll get to love in just a moment, but the first story is as my own mother was dying, I was with her at her deathbed when she in the last week of her life. She still watched my brother fighting his battle with the disease of addiction, and her words to me in some of her last moments and last breaths. She took me by the arm, by the shirt, and she didn't grab because she didn't have strength to grab, but she held on. And she said, you have to love your brother. And I said, Mom, I do love my brother. And she said, no, you don't. Now, here's what was happening. She wanted me to be her replacement for his codependence, as a codependent, to bail him out of problems, to see to it that he was not using drugs or alcohol, to fight for him in a way that was sacrificing my own quality of life. And I was just far enough into my own recovery from codependency to know that my mother's life had been drained by my brother's addiction. Her life had become a battle with a sickness that was called codependency. You know, folks that are in a battle with alcohol or drugs, they're in a dependency battle. The people that are in a dance with their family members or friends, they are in a codependency battle. And so I had to just let her understand that, okay, Mom, I'll do my best to love him, but she didn't know that my love would not be codependency. Another story from my life is how, as a pastor, I thought I was going to save a few people in my church. And I don't have time to tell the whole story, but I was determined to save one man in particular. But what was happening was I wasn't loving him. I was codependent. I was like an alcoholic serving booze in a bar, and I was susceptible to the booze. But my booze wasn't whiskey. My booze wasn't Jack Daniels. My booze was a jacked up human being. My drug had two legs and two arms and a full body. My drug had a name, and his name was Jay. So I fought to save Jay, and in the process, I was losing my own life, losing quality of life, and calling it love. Finally, a counselor told me, he said, you know, I used to love to see skinny, dumb preachers like you show up when I was an alcoholic, and I'd eat them up and spit them out at their feet. And he said, you need help. And that was the beginning of my journey in the 12 steps, my journey toward recovery from codependency, and my journey to recognize that if I ever fall for my misconception of love as a codependent behavior, my life is going to be drained of quality. So what is love? Thanks for asking. Love is seeing to it that what we do for others, we are doing freely without demand. What we do with our desires and our hopes for other people has nothing to do with fix, manage, control, recruit, enlist, or convert. But our life is a life that just is here to be. To let our love be the one thing. Love that is patient. Love that is kind. Love that shows no deference. Shows that I'm not here to live your life for you. I'm here to show you that there's always a better life, and it's a life lived for love. Not for using people to get money for your next hit. Not a life that's used for getting your car payment made because your disease ate up all your income. No, that's not love either. And love lives with the freedom of being able to hold somebody while they're shaking and crying for you to pay their next bill because they've been using their money for the disease that's killing them. Love says, I'm here to hold you, but I'm not here to pay your bills. Now, I'm opening a can of worm here, but I'm here to tell you that love alone is credible. Love alone is the answer when you're living with somebody in a dependency cycle. When you're living with somebody whose drugs or alcohol it's their cancer, it's their tuberculosis, it's their paralysis, and seeing them as being people in greater need than your advice or your fixing, managing, controlling, recruiting, enlisting, or converting, that your life is to get them to the help they really need, which might not be, well, in fact, it won't be you. And the one help you can give them is to show them there's a better way through the loving truth of getting into treatment. The loving truth of seeing to it that you're talking to an AA chapter and you're getting your feet in the doors of an AA chapter. I might walk in there with you to give you a sense that you're not alone, but I'm not going to do it for you. I'm not going to bail you out of jail every time you're there. I'm not going to pay for your DWIs. I'm not going to see to it that you get to work no matter how hungover you are. No, no, no. My life is lived for love alone. And love does not fix, manage, control. Love does not recruit, enlist, or convert. Love is just be. Just be. All right, well, I've got to bring this in for a close today. I opened a lot of doors, and I hope you'll come back next week. We'll keep talking about it. What's love and what's codependency? Might save your life. I know it saved mine to know the difference. Now, what I want you to do with that heavy topic on your mind is I want you to sit up as straight as you can, put your feet flat on the floor, look straight ahead, maybe with your eyes open or closed, but just be and be at peace. On the count of three, I want you to take the deepest breath that you can and hold it for just a few beats. 1, 2, 3. Inhale. Hold it. And exhale. Give yourself the kind of sabbatical you need to relax your mind, relax your fretting and your worries and your anxiety. Give yourself love you need to be loved by caring for you. Now, the second thing is something I'm infamous for in some circles, and that is to look somebody straight in the eye. Give them your full attention. Slow the three holiest, most magical and charmed words in the human language down. Slow it down and say, I love you. You just don't know. Somebody may hear that and they've not heard it in days, weeks, months, and God forbid, they may not have ever heard it or even in years. Those three words could set someone on the course of coming alive again. I am so honored that you chose to be with me today. I've dug a pretty deep hole of conversation with you, and I'll be back here next week, and we're going to talk about love is not codependency, and codependency is not love. Codependency is a disease, but love is the cure. Love is the medicine. Love is the independence you and I need to live our life. And out of that, others will find a way to live their life free of their own pains without me fixing, managing, or controlling. Now go out there and do something beautiful, people, and it's going to look like love. Make love your creed, your motto, and your passion, and you will always find a bright sunshine in every day if you will love. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.